Greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I especially want to thank Brother Isha Jacob for the invitation to be here this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. I'm sure you would have gone through this passage many times, but I have titled this morning as Crossing the Unknown Path. Now, since many of you are from Kerala, one of the things that intrigues me is when they cross the river, all that they have is not a bridge those days, just the coconut tree's bark. And the people walk on it without any fear. For those of us who are there for the first time, we struggle and we do not know what is going to happen and how do we go to the other side. But the others walk casually. Now, when you read the Bible, you find the Lord is calling people to cross the unknown path. You do not know what 2026 is in store for you. 2025 was a good season for some. For some, it was not a good ending, especially in our own family, when we lost a loved one. This year was the first anniversary, so it was a tough beginning. So all of us as a family had to encourage the person, my brother, and it was tough. Now, when we move into a new year, we ask, Lord, what is in store for me? Will this year be like the last year? Will it be different from the previous years? Now, look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. Look at the next line. For you have not passed this way before. You have not passed this way before. Moses died. Joshua was asked to lead. And you read it in chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. Everything was given to Joshua. The courage from the Lord, the promise of the Lord. And the people stood to Joshua and said, yes, Joshua, as we were with Moses, we will be with you. But the question is, why is the Lord making it difficult? He has told them already. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Look at verse 9, verse 8 and 9. This book, let me read verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And look at verse 11. Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving in to possess. The Lord has already given the land, and he's saying it is just on the other side. But the question is, why is the Lord making it so difficult for us to get this promise? You know, some of you have been praying for a long time a promise to be fulfilled. Let me put it this way. It is not difficult for the Lord to give me a watch when I pray for a watch. Am I right? But why is it sometimes it takes 6 years for him to give this watch? When I pray, the Lord is answering him. Why can't he answer me directly? Why his need? Same need I have, I've been praying. Why is it his prayer the Lord just answers and my prayer I have to wait? You know, friends, this is what I understood. When God answers prayer, it's not difficult for the Lord to answer our prayer. But when the Lord answers our prayer, His character is also involved. He can, but His character is involved, and His good purpose in your life and my life is involved. It's not that the watch is going to spoil me, but there is always a right timing for God to give that answer. People ask me, Pastor, when is the right time for God to answer? With all the understanding of God's word and listening to the testimonies of people, I have come to this conclusion. The right time for the Lord to answer is the time when He answers. Isn't that brilliant? He's not a second early, not a second late. You can stand on your bed. But Christians, you know what? When the Lord says no, we conduct a fasting prayer. Friends, that's not what is in the Bible. When God says no, even if you fast and stand on your head, no is a no. Because that is also God's answer. And so when the Lord says, you know, the land is already given to you, and you find in verse 11, you know, the land is given to you, but the question is, why all this then? Why are you making it difficult to cross over? Isn't there any other route? Not all of us know swimming. Not all of us have the courage. We have different people. They have asked. The Bible says, God, Joshua told the people, wait here for 3 days. Friends, listen very carefully. Promise is given. You have to cross over. Lord, why wait for 3 days? Can't you just, whatever you want to say, can't you say it in 3 hours and allow us to go? Can't you just allow us to go after 1 day? Why 3 hours? Why 3 days? You know, sometimes we need to remember, more than receiving the promise in our hand, the preparation to receive the promise is important. And so God prepares us. God prepares us in such a way that we will be ready to receive that promise. And so the Lord places before them few instructions, and those are the instructions I want to place before you this morning. Now, these instructions are necessary to clear the obstructions on the way. Because when God answers, we can receive. But the Lord is telling us, when you face these challenges in your life, when you face these obstructions in your life, you and I need to be prepared how to overcome these obstructions in life. We can pray. We can read. But there is something more that the Lord is telling the people of Israel. Why? Because you have not been into this place before. You have not crossed. 2026 is new. You have not crossed because it is an unknown path. It is an untrodden path and it is an uncertain path. So how can we walk into 2026? He places this few instructions, and let me place it before you. Look at chapter 3, verse 3. Can I ask someone to read it for me, please?
Giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you ought to move out from your positions and follow it.
Look at these words that are starting with the S. Number one, he says, see the Ark of the Covenant. In other words, fix your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. Fix your eyes on the presence of the Lord. And you find it's a symbol of God's presence. When God is leading us, friends, let us fix our eyes on the Lord. Yes, the path may be up and down. It may be an uncertain path, an untrodden path. But I know the one who's leading me is sure of the path, and I'll fix my eyes on him and walk. That is why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, fix your eyes on him. To look away from the other things and fix. You know, sometimes we get distracted. We fix our eyes on the Lord, but then you find people overtaking. You know, Bangalore roads is like that. First of all, it's difficult to drive on the road, but then you find as if people are sitting on the horn and driving. You know, they keep on honking and honking. But then I have learned one thing in a lesson in Bangalore Roads. You allow them to overtake you. Don't get angry because you will see them at the traffic lights. Let them overtake you. Don't panic. You know, fix your eyes on the Lord. You're saying people are overtaking. See, those people have gone advanced. The Lord is saying, fix your eyes on the ark. Do not overtake the ark. Just fix it. You know, all the other distractions will be there. But sometimes in our life when we fix our eyes, you feel that you're overwhelmed with the task. And then we take our eyes off. Because we have listened to people saying, you know, do this, and we take our eyes off. But the Lord is telling the people of Israel, if you want to cross the other side, see, fix your eyes on the ark, the presence of the Lord. When is the last time we fixed our eyes on the Lord and refused to listen to ungodly advice? When is the last time we got distracted and we came back and said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will wait upon you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. Please read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12.
O our God, we will not, will you not judge them, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
Lord, this is a vast army that is attacking us. We really do not know what to do. But our eyes is upon you. Is that possible in 2026? Lord, I do not know. There could be uncertainty. There could be things that can shake our very faith. It could be things that you have been waiting on and you realize something and you take your eyes off. Not that the Lord has moved away from us. It could be that we have lost sight of the presence of God and we have lost our way. We have lost our way. The first thing is to see, fix your eyes on the ark. Look at the second thing he says in chapter 3, verse 3. When you see the ark, what does it say? When you see the ark, set out. When you see the ark, friends, it's easy to see. But setting out requires courage and total obedience. He's saying, set out when you see the ark and move from your comfort zone and keep following the ark. Because sometimes we don't want to move from the comfort zone. We're saying, Lord, everything is all right. We have been here for many years. We are familiar with the neighborhood. We are familiar with everything. We don't want to move out and follow the ark because, Lord, the Jordan River, even though it is not big as the Red Sea, we find that it's going to be difficult to cross. And so we negotiate. May I tell you, the loved ones, the commands of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord are non-negotiable. We cannot. Just obey. You don't know how he's going to take us to the other side. But the Bible says, when you see it, just follow. No discussion, no asking questions. I saw the presence of the Lord and I am following. People who set out, Abraham, what an age. Set out, leave your kindred. Leave that comfortable community that you're in. Move out. Sometimes God disturbs our comfort zone to comfort others who are in discomfort. But you and I can sit and say, no, Lord, I can see, but I don't want to move out. Moses moved out, an educated man, a man who was called, he stepped out. You know, when I read the Bible, I'll also see when the Lord stepped into Peter's boat, Peter stepped out for following the Lord. And he saw it. He saw the Lord stepping into his boat and he experienced the presence of the Lord. He experienced a miracle. And the next thing we see is Peter stepping out. Are we ready to step out without asking questions when the Lord says, move? when you follow the ark. That's the only way you and I can cross the other side. David stepped out. Paul stepped out. A man who sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a religious man who could have argued, but when he had this encounter on the Damascus road, he stepped out. He stepped out. You know, there are some like Gideon who keep on asking for signs. Look at Judges chapter 6, verse 33 to 40. Could someone read? Judges chapter 6, verse 33 to 40.
Now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and they crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. For the Spirit of the Lord told Gideon, and he sounded a trumpet, and the Amalekites were called out to follow him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him, and he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they went up to meet them. Then Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have said, behold, I am laying a fleece alone with threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand as you have said. And it was so. And when he rose early next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me test just once more with the fleece. Please let me dry on the fleece only and on the ground that there be dew. And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only and on the ground there was dew.
Look at friends. Sign after sign. How many signs we have asked the Lord? We have heard the voice of the Lord. We read the word of the Lord, and then we hear from the messenger of the Lord. But then you said, Lord, one more sign. One more. What more? Is there someone waiting for a sign and you're missing the opportunities? Are we just not satisfied what the Lord is saying to us? There's one man who received a warning saying, move from this place. But the Bible says he lingered. You know who that man is? Lot. Hey, Lot, what a damage you have done, Lot. You heard the voice of the Lord. You heard the warning that came to you and you lingered. And I do not know this morning if some of us are lingering and saying, no, Lord, I want these signs to be very clear. You have to tell us steps number 1 to 10, how to cross the Jordan River. Suppose the people of Israel would have said, sorry, we cannot cross the Jordan River. Even though the promise is given, they will not be the recipients of God's promise. And let us not blame God. Let us not blame God. God is not doing anything. We need to ask the other way around. Lord, am I listening to what you're saying? Am I obedient to your voice? Or have I missed out on that obedience, O Lord? Genesis chapter 19. Please read 19, verse 14 to 16. Anyone? Genesis 19, 14 to 16.
The Lord went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were pledged to marry his daughter. He said, hurry and get out of this place because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand in the hands of his wife and of his two daughters, and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away. But Lord said to them, no, my lords, please, your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. this disaster will overtake me and I'll die.
Look at this, friends. It's the mercy of God. They held his hand and pulled him out. He wanted to be in the place of comfort. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 12, you find when there was a discussion with Abraham and Lot, the Bible says Abraham pitched his tent towards Sodom. But then you find in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. How did this tent move? Sitting, facing towards Sodom, and now he is sitting at the gate of Sodom. You know what happened, friends? He was very comfortable there with Sodom. He was comfortable in the place of evil. Now he has become one of the leaders of Sodom, sitting at the gate. People who sit at the gate are the people who negotiate the things. Maybe you and I have been comfortable in the place where we are. We have accommodated the things that is happening in the world. And when God is saying, cross over, this is only a waiting time for 3 days. Listen to the instructions, because the promise is on the other side. And I do not know what we are negotiating with the Lord and saying, Lord, no, my family, my age, you know, crossing over, there are, it's not so easy. Because age is there, family is there, your vocation is there, and you need to take all this into consideration before you cross over. But my understanding of God's word is, God, knowing all this, is still calling us to cross over. He's still calling us to cross over. What are some of the conditions that you and I have put before God? Set out. The third thing he says is, sanctify yourselves. Look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow he will do great things. See, set out, sanctify yourselves. Why, Lord? Can't we go as we are? No. You are going to cross over to receive the promise. And you have that sin in you. And it's good for us to come as we came to the communion table to sit and say, Lord, if there is anything unclean in my life, let me not cross over, O Lord. I pray that you will forgive me and cleanse me even before I move in. That's what he's saying. So what is it? He's not saying, these are the list, look into your life. He's saying, sanctify yourselves, which means, set apart thoroughly for the Lord. There is no dual nature. There is no dual membership. You and I are citizens of God. And so we come to that, says, Lord, I do realize there are certain things in my life which I need to surrender. Very often in my counseling career, when I ask people, hey, why do you get so angry? Why are you short-tempered? You don't ask, just like my father. I said, why can't you follow your mother? This is one kind of excuse, friends, we as Christians have learned. Right from my childhood, I am by like this. I am like my father. That means we are saying our nature will not change. But the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Look at what Colossians so beautifully places. Colossians chapter 3. First of all, he says, who is a Christian? The description of a Christian. Look into your Bibles. Chapter 3, verse 1. A Christian is one who is raised with Christ. Verse 1. If then you are raised with Christ. Number 2. A Christian is one who seeks the things above. Number 3. A Christian is one who sets his mind on the things above. Verse 2. Not on the things of the earth. They are, you know, some people are heavenly minded but no earthly use. That's a different thing. But there are some, by Bible talks, we need to be people who are citizens of heaven, who think differently, who contribute to the value of the body of Christ. That's what he says. He's a Christian because sometimes we think my church membership, participation in the communion, actively involved in the worship makes me a Christian. No, my Bible is absolutely clear. Paul says, you are raised with Christ, your identity is with Christ, your unity is with Christ, you set the things on your mind on the things above. And then he says, look at that verse, verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. A Christian is one whose life is hidden with Christ, and they will also appear with Christ. And so the question this morning is, am I entering 2026 with this identity? Am I truly a person who's dead with Christ and risen with Christ? Do people see Christ in us? I think in the announcement, brother said, let this year we will be people who will get in new people into the body of Christ. In the marketing, you know, friends, one of the things I'm having a struggle, people say, those whom God called us to be missionaries and all this, maybe the mission field is difficult and they say, God has called me to be a witness in the marketplace. And I always ask these young people, you've been in the marketplace for 18 years, tell me one person who became a Christian in the marketplace because of you. Tell me. We should never make it as an excuse. I'm a witness in the marketplace. Okay, tell me, what is it? How many people have come to know the Lord? Now you can't be a witness in the marketplace because many of them are working from home. You have to only witness to your husband and wife. Let's listen. And people listen very carefully. God has called me to be in the marketplace to be a witness. What happened? Where are they? Your colleagues. Your friends. And here, the identity of a Christ, your life hidden with Christ, is not that the Christian is hidden that people can't see, but your life hidden with Christ, everybody can see, it is not you live, but Christ that lives in you. But look at what Paul says. It is not only the description of the Christian that demands on a Christian. Look at Colossians chapter 3. You will come across three very specific words. Number one is verse 5. Put to death. Put to death. In other words, please look at the list. Your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is upon you. So he says, put to death. What you put to death, you cannot revive it. But then he uses second word. He does not just put to death, he says, put off. And I say this, every Christian must look at his wardrobe weekly. Put off. You know, sometimes you'll be amazed when you shift the house, you'll find the number of things you have accumulated which you didn't want to give to others. But it goes from house to house. We don't use it. And the same thing with our clothes. We don't want to give it, we want to keep it. Why? Because my great-grandfather gifted to me. And I have grown out of it. But we just want to give it, keep it. And Paul is saying, put off. If you have the description of a Christian, put off. Change your wardrobe. If these things does not fit in, throw it off. And then he says, put on. Look at that. Verse 8 is put off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language of the mouth. Do not lie to one another. And then he says in verse 12, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Not because we are coming from this family, because we have a high heritage in our family and I'm behaving that way. No, no, no. I behave the way I want to behave because I am God's elect. I am chosen by God. I am raised with Christ. And so Joshua says here, sanctify yourselves before you cross over. Is there anything in us that needs to be surrendered to the Lord? Because Joshua knew he was with Moses. that because of the people's murmuring and complaining and grumbling, because of the continued sin. You'll find it in Joshua chapter 3. After Joshua died, the people went back and began to worship other gods. Sanctify yourselves. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, cast away that sin which not entangles us, which easily entangles us. Easily. Is there something in my life that I'm carrying it? Nobody knows, but only I know. Is there something that I'm quietly covering it up and I'm calling it by different names? Weakness. I am like this. My childhood problem. But the Lord is saying, no, don't call it by different tags and labels. It is sin against God. Lay it off. Sanctify yourselves. The fourth thing he says, chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. Anyone?
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness.
No, Joshua chapter 3. Sorry.
Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priest who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap.
Thank you. I want us to picture this, friends. The people are standing at the edge of the Jordan River. The Lord is giving clear instructions. One thing we need to know. The Lord does not give any abstract instructions. Joshua, go around the walls of Jericho. How many times? Huh? 13 times. Did the Lord give them a number 13 times? Or he said just go around the walls of Jericho?
7 times.
You know, when the Lord gives instructions, friends, there is nothing confusing. The word will interpret the word. And you find here, he says, Joshua, choose 7 men, priests. He didn't say that. He said, choose the priests. Look into your Bible once again. Brother, can you read that verse? Joshua chapter 3.
Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap.
Right. Now please look here. He is saying when the priests carry the ark of the covenant and when they come to the edge of the water, let them dip their toe at the edge of the water. Now, as I was reading it, I said, Lord, is it so simple? Is it so easy to cross the Jordan River? And this is what I understood. When the Lord is in it, even that which is difficult looks easy. Even that which is difficult, just touch. Lord, is there a power in my toe? No. It is just an obedience to God's word. For Moses, he said, use the rod. For Joshua, he tells the people, let the priest touch the edge of the water. And now it is not flowing sideways, friends. It is not flowing this way. The Bible says the Jordan River is flowing this way. And when you touch, they will stand. Amazing. How can the water stand like this? Only the Lord can do it. And they step. No, nobody asked the question. Here is it. See the ark. Set out. Sanctify yourselves. And then step in. And for stepping in requires faith. It requires faith. Lord, first you show me. Remember Moses? Moses, what is in your hand? He said, the rod, throw it down. It became a snake. And the Lord said, Moses, catch it. If I was in Moses' place, I said, Lord, first you catch it and then I will do it. It's easy to command. But then I would like to see, and if we are in a church like this and say, no, cross the Jordan River, you say, wait, Pastor Isha, first you go. Then we will come. Who is going to follow this? If the water is flowing, I can see it with my eyes. There is fear that is gripping me. Fear can paralyze you. Fear can keep you away from being obedient to the Lord. We can ask questions, but the Lord is saying, it's simple faith. Simple faith. Are we ready? Are we ready in 2026? Saying, because He told me, I will do it. And that is why Hannah so beautifully prayed and said, Lord, bless me with a son. And when the child was given, she said, because I asked the Lord, He gave it. I do not know how many of us can say it. Because I asked, He gave it. Look at it. Is it so simple? Yes, it is. When the Lord is in it, it is as simple as lifting the rod and the sea divides. Red Sea is different. Jordan River is different. The rod is different. Touching the toe with the toe is different. But it is the same Lord. But friends, Moses did not take the rod, and Joshua, the priest, did not say, okay, next time when I see the river, I'll go and keep my leg, it'll go. No. That's only once. Sometimes God uses that miracle once in your life and no more to be repeated. When He turned the water into wine, when did the water become wine? In the marriage. When? When did it become wine? When did it become wine? When they obeyed? At the end? Anyone? When his mother asked? When God wanted it? When they filled the barrel. You know why we have so many answers? Because there are no answers in the Bible. These are our answers. But I like what Alan Redpath said. When the water looked at the Creator, it just blushed. Fantastic, friends. You know what? Doctors are here. You'll find healing taking place, but you do not know how it took place. You know God answers, but you do not know how God answers. Don't simply sit there and keep analyzing. Tell me, Lord, how? Miracle is a miracle. And that is why He is God. He does it. He does great things in our life. Walk. How did the water stop? Is there power in your leg? No. It's in obedience to God's word. Sometimes God will ask us to do that silliest thing in our life. Do it. Given an opportunity, many of you will say that you have experienced answer to prayer. And my own life, I find this, and I've said it all over in many churches. The only one who can interpret your tears, your words, and your silence is the Lord. No one else. Step in. And that requires faith. The fifth thing you find here, is in verse 17. Joshua chapter 3, verse 17. Then the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. The fifth one is to stand firm. Priests, stand in the middle. Let the people cross. How many people crossed the Jordan River? Any idea? The Bible doesn't say how many people, but the history says about 2 to 3 million people. Just imagine the priest standing there and allowing people to cross. You know, friends, I have read this passage, but this time when I was preparing, you know, it hit me. Sometimes God will call you to stand in a place to allow others to cross over. It could be the head of the family. My disobedience will destroy others. My obedience as a father in the family will help my children to move to the other side. We need to ask. And the priest stood there and allowed everybody to cross over. None of the priests looked on the side saying, will the water come back? But they stood as long as they obeyed. They stood and waited for 2 to 3 million people to go to the other side. As a father, as a grandfather, have I disobeyed the Lord, which is affecting the generation to follow? Are the children just hearing the father preach, but not seeing the Christ in his life? Are we comfortable saying, as long as I go to the other side, it's okay, but I'm not worried if the people are following? But the Lord is saying, no, I want you. Because he said it to Jesus Christ, I want you as only son, hang on the cross, because I want my people to be saved. 2026, will God pick you up as a person to be the person who will save others to go to the other side? It's a huge crowd. How long to wait, I don't know. But the Lord is saying, I will give you strength. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. Anyone?
You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, holy position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf.
You need not fight the battle, but take your position. You see, I didn't understand this. I still don't understand. If the battle is the Lord's, why should I take the position? I would have said, Lord, you fight the battle. After that, I will come. I have fear. How can I take the position when the battle is going on? The Lord is saying, you just take the position. I will fight the battle. In all that the Lord is saying, I want you not to be a spectator of what I'm doing. I want you to participate in what I'm doing. Just see and observe what the Lord is doing. You and I need to stand firm. Let the Lord do the things. And you and I can say, you know what? If this is the Lord's doing, it is marvelous in our sight. I didn't do anything at all. I just bent my knees. I cried out to him. Words did not come. But it is the Lord who has done this in my life. Do you have a testimony of God's goodness? See the ark. Set out. Sanctify yourselves. Step in. Step in and stand firm. Put the other way around. Fix your eyes on the Lord. Follow the ark. Follow the ark. Fear God. Sanctify yourselves. Keep a distance from the ark of the covenant. Sometimes our holiness becomes very casual. And we are so familiar with God that anything sells in the body of Christ. Anything. Indiscipline. I wish the old time religion comes back. There is a fear that will grip us, a holy fear. Don't come very close to the ark. Keep a distance. Don't touch it. Fear, a holy fear. As I travel around, I tell the parents, where are the children? Don't complain later. Everything sells, casual. No, it's okay, child, even if you don't come. Do they have the experience of holding the word? Looking into God's word? We have an awesome responsibility. These are only the instructions that is given. But there is one more given in Joshua chapter 4. Don't look into it. He says, when the people gather, Joshua, priest will carry the ark of the covenant. But you choose one person from every tribe. You choose. And where the priest stood, let them pick up the stones. Let them, each one on the shoulder. Why? Not to build an aquarium. Let them build it. And where they are lodging, let them set it up. For what, Lord? In the holy land, you will find people putting their dupatta on where Jesus was buried, and they rub it and take it. The sand from there, the leaf from there, just to tell the children we went to the holy land. But here the Lord is telling, keep that stone there. Why, Lord? When your children ask you, why these stones? Tell them, not that you carried, you were young and your shoulders were strong, not because you were able to carry the stone. Tell them that the Lord brought you through the Jordan River. He's the Lord who delivered, the Lord who is faithful. Look into your text, friends. Chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. Chapter 4, verse 4 to 7.
So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial for the people of Israel forever.
They should be a memorial for the people of Israel forever. Tell your children. Families, when is the last time our children knew about God's faithfulness in your life? Grandparents? We have plenty of time. We can tell them stories. Tell them something that God did in your life. And take it from me, the children will say, you know what? God did this in my daddy's life. God did this in mommy's life. And the child will grow expecting the Lord to do something in his own life. Tell the children that the generation to follow will see the stones and say, what are these stones? Tell them, not about yourself that you carried the stone. Tell them about God's deliverance. Tell them about God's faithfulness. Tell them about God's goodness. What is there in your house and my house, or in your life and my life, to show the children that this is something of what the Lord did in our family? I know a person who's a good friend of ours. Every year, he will have a prayer meeting in his house. It's called the needle prayer. First time when they called me to speak, I said, what is this needle prayer? He said, Pastor, it is a remembrance of what God did in my life when I was small. I swallowed the needle and they said, doctor said you will not live for too long. But now, I am the general secretary of one of the organizations, and this was God did. I want to share it. It is moving on, friends. Moving on. Is there something to show our children and grandchildren of God's faithfulness? Or are you only talking about, you know what? Daddy was a sincere. I said it somewhere. People can say former director, former pastor, but no one should introduce us as a former servant of the Lord. Our children should know. Do you have a story to say? Is there a stone to show of God's faithfulness? Is there anything at all to show of God's faithfulness? That's what it is. Receive the instructions of the Lord to overcome the obstructions in 2026. We need to be people who will listen to His word. We need to be people who will honor the word. This year, 2026, I was sitting at the watch night service. I was praying to the Lord, nothing else. I said, Lord, this year, let my intimacy with you grow deeper than the previous years. Only one prayer. Number two, I said in the word of intimacy, let me not be lethargic in studying the word. Sometimes we can read the word to preach, but not to read the word to understand the mind of Christ. So this morning, 2026, crossing the unknown path. I don't know, each one will have a different path, but the one who will take us to that other side is the only one who knows the path. an untrodden path, an uncertain path, an unknown path is this crossover. Don't look at it from a distance and say it's impossible. Just say, Lord, because you are saying, I'm going. And the Bible says, the Lord will go in the front. Follow him. See. Set out. Sanctify yourselves. Step in. And let there be a sign of what he has done in your life and my life. Shall we pray? It's not so easy to cross to the other side, O Lord, even though we receive that promise, because it's an unknown path. But Lord, we are willing to fix our eyes on you and just follow you. Give us a heart of humility, a heart of obedience, and a heart of trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.